Was there foul play behind the banks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. There's some very interesting testimony going on Capitol Hill. Bank of America CEO Ken Lewis has been testifying to Congress. His bank bought Merrill Lynch late last year, took on a lot of bad loans in the process. Lawmakers want to know whether the government put undue pressure on Lewis to make that deal. Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite joins us live. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
So what's Ken Lewis saying?
Well, he started off by saying that when Bank of America agreed to buy Merrill back in the fall, they wanted to. I mean, this was at a time when the financial crisis was at its height, the stock market was tanking, no one knew what was going to happen from one day to the next, and Bank of America genuinely wanted to be part of saving the financial system. And they thought the acquisition would be good for the company and bring value to their shareholders as well.
Yes, and as we know, not so much value there after all.
Yeah, exactly. And what Lewis says is that in December, he found out that losses at Merrill were a lot worse than he'd originally thought. He knew that there were losses, but he says it wasn't until then he realized they were quite severe. And he says he was so concerned that he was strongly considering backing out of the deal. And there's something called a material adverse change clause that lets companies exit mergers if circumstances suddenly alter. And they call it MAC for short. And here's a clip from his testimony a bit earlier where he's talking about the government's reaction to that idea of Bank of America changing its mind.
But basically, if we went through with calling the MAC, that the government could or would remove management and the board.
So Lewis is saying he was pressured?
Well, it's really interesting because Ken Lewis was obviously very reluctant to use that word. He didn't use that word. But yeah, to anyone listening, it certainly seems as if there was pressure from the government.
So what's next? Are we going to get the government side of the story?
Well, yes, we may get that. The chairman of the committee holding today's hearing says he's asked both Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson to testify at a future date. And we still have to hear about one side of this that hasn't come up yet, which is the issue of Bank of America hiding the state of Merrill Lynch's finances from its shareholders. The bank's facing some lawsuits from very angry shareholders who say they never would have agreed to the deal if they'd known the state of Merrill's losses.
Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The S&P 500 is up 0.8%. The NASDAQ, 0.6% higher. The Dow, 0.7%. It's up 64 points at 8,803. European shares closed up about 1% today. Asian markets were mixed. The European Court of Justice has delivered its solemn verdict in a case involving rabbit-shaped chocolate. It's a trademark case between two rival candy makers. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is here to guide us through this legal warren. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill.
What is the fundamental issue here?
Can you trademark a piece of chocolate shaped like a rabbit wrapped in gold foil with a red ribbon around its neck and a bell? The European court was ruling in a case between a Swiss candy maker, Lindt, and an Austrian firm, Hausverth. Lindt trademarked its chocolate Easter Bunny and then sued Hausverth for producing a similar rabbit-shaped product.
Yes, I've seen them both. They're both adorable. What has the European court decided, Stephen?
The court, dare I say it, rather fudged the issue. They dealt only with a narrow legal question of, is it legally possible for a company like Lindt to apply for a trademark in bad faith, knowing other companies are already making similar products? They've made that legal ruling and now referred the case back to lower courts. So the fundamental question, can you trademark a piece of chocolate shaped like a rabbit with a ribbon and a bell around its neck, remains unresolved.
And is this just about bunny candy, or does this have implications for other companies?
No, this could actually have quite big implications because three-dimensional trademarks are pretty tricky. The general rule is if your product is shaped the way it is for functional reasons, for example, like a toilet seat, you cannot trademark it. But there have been exceptions. Another candy maker, for example, failed to get protection for a bar of chocolate shaped like a cigar. Now, no obvious matters of functionality there. So this issue is unresolved.
Reporting from Watership Down, Stephen Beard. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
IndyCar driver Danica Patrick is reportedly negotiating a switch of her driving allegiance to stock car racing. It would be a bigger stage for her and a big coup for NASCAR, as Joel Rose reports.
Danica Patrick is the first woman to win an IndyCar event, but she's at least as well known for her exploits off the track, like a series of racy commercials for GoDaddy.com.
Miss Patrick?
Yes, I've enhanced.
Miss Patrick?
It's true. I've enhanced my image with a domain name and a website.
NASCAR officials may be hoping Patrick will enhance their image, too. Larry DeGaris teaches sports marketing at the University of Indianapolis. He says after a decline in ratings and attendance this year, NASCAR could use Patrick's star power more than ever.
If you can bring more big-name sponsors on board who are going to put money behind leveraging their relationship with Danica, that's good for the sport on several levels.
Marketing executives say Patrick could bring millions of dollars in new sponsorships. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
The government of Hugo Chavez has banned Coke Zero. His health minister ordered Coca-Cola to pull the beverage from store shelves, quote, to preserve the health of Venezuelans. He didn't say what the health risk might be. Coca-Cola says there is no health risk, but it will stop production. The Chavez government has also nationalized oil service companies, seized a rice mill and pasta factory belonging to U.S. food giant Cargill, and threatened action against the drug maker Pfizer. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke. Let's check the Dow again. Looks like it is up 75 points at 8,814. Have a good Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.